Welcome to Bible and Bourbon with Pastor Ben. Today we are studying Matthew chapter 26, verses 57 through 68, the trial of Jesus. Today I am drinking Marksman Kentucky Bourbon. It is an 80 proof bourbon, and it has a nose that is distinctly caramel. With that first sip, you still get that caramel flavor, but in it, it is balanced with a certain sweetness and smokiness, as well as the essence of some tropical fruits. Our prayer request for today comes from a listener who just gave birth to their first child, a daughter, and wants us to hold them in our prayers as they continue with their recovery from the childbirth, and also as they begin their journey of parenthood. We are praying with you. And now let us begin our study with a prayer. Almighty God, we pray for all of those listening to this podcast or engaging with these studies. We pray that they may learn about your true essence and how your true essence can come in their life and guide their presence going forward. We pray all this in your Son's holy and great name. Amen. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 57 through 68. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priest and the whole of Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." "You have said so," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do you need any more witnesses? Look, you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" "He is worthy of death," they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fist. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Messiah. Who hit you?" Matthew chapter 26, verses 57 through 68. Whenever we engage a text from the Bible, it's important for us to remember the context in which the text was written. And this scripture in particular shows us about the political workings of the Jewish state during the time of Christ. Because in some ways, the Jewish people had their own political apparatus, but in other ways, they didn't. You can think of Jerusalem as Puerto Rico today within the United States. Puerto Rico is a territory of the United States, and therefore it is part of the United States. But they also have their own form of government. They have their own representatives, their own courts, their own leaders. But Puerto Rico is not completely separate from the rest of the United States either. Puerto Rico can't declare war on Bermuda. That's outside of their power. Their government and their people only extend so far in their independence. And the same is true for the Jewish people in Jerusalem under their Roman government. The Sanhedrin, this group of Jewish elites, had their own high priest as well as their own president. And in some ways, members of their court were propped up by Rome and supported Rome, but others felt as if Rome was a more distant power. This court was made up of the Jewish people and could only deal with the Jewish people and their traditions, particularly around faith. They had a problem with Jesus. But the Roman authorities at this point at least, really didn't care about Jesus. And when you see this trial and compare it to the trial in front of Pilate, you can see the apathy that the Roman government had toward the person of Jesus. They didn't really see him as a threat. They didn't believe that he was leading an armed rebellion. And they saw this conflict between Jesus and the rest of these Jewish authorities as a simple matter of faith concerning the Jewish people, as something that Rome didn't really want to bother themselves with. And that's why he first stood trial in front of the Sanhedrin, this purely Jewish court. The local people were the ones judging the fate of Jesus, condemning him for transgressions against what they considered to be their faith, and the local people were the ones bringing forth testimony against Jesus. That's why the crime for which Jesus was being accused of was first heard by the Sanhedrin, and not first heard in front of Pilate and the Roman court. But what's interesting is the crime that the Sanhedrin find Jesus guilty of is different than the one that the Roman state finds him guilty of. And in fact, the Sanhedrin present him in front of the Roman state as guilty of a different crime than the one that they, in fact, just the night before found him guilty of. The Sanhedrin finds him guilty of the crime of blasphemy, speaking against their faith. That's something that they were able to charge someone with. The problem, however, under Roman law, the Sanhedrin was not allowed to put anyone to death. Crucifixion was something that was only justified under the Roman authority. The Sanhedrin wants him to be put to death, but blasphemy in this current state is not a crime that is punishable by death. So they have to present him to the Roman court. But the Roman court would never crucify someone simply because they blasphemed against a religion that the Romans themselves did not believe in. So instead, we see the priest and the elders presenting Jesus to the Romans as if he was leading a rebellion. They say that he was declaring himself king of the Jews. And that is what the Roman court tries him for. Because by declaring himself king of the Jews, he would be usurping the title that is rightfully given by the Roman Senate. Only the Roman Senate could declare someone king of Jerusalem or king of the Jews. And therefore, if Jesus did make this declaration, it would be seen as rebellion against Rome. But again, that is never what the Sanhedrin actually try him for. And this shows that the Sanhedrin at this point and the elites of Jerusalem were going to do anything they could to put Jesus to death. It didn't matter if he was truly guilty or not, he was going to be crucified. And this decision is first made in the heart of that high priest. He wanted to bring together the Sanhedrin to present a unified force in front of Pilate, to force him to do something that, frankly, he probably wouldn't. And the Sanhedrin really became nothing more than a kangaroo court used to unify the elites against Christ. Because the high priest knew that he needed all of the Sanhedrin to support him in order to convince Pilate that Jesus would need to be executed. Because Pilate would only execute Jesus if he saw it as necessary to stave off a revolt. Pilate wanted to keep the status quo, and if the elites in society wanted this man dead enough, well, eventually he would do it whether he was guilty or not. And we can see in this trial the high priest working to make this a reality, because this trial isn't what we would expect today. The evidence presented in front of Jesus isn't presented to remove all reasonable doubt, but instead to just change the hearts and minds of the people around him. It is a political theater, one in which truth isn't important, but show and style are. And the disciples at this point have all abandoned Jesus. They've all left. We know that Peter has made his way to the temple courts and is waiting outside, but he has not broken through the gates. He is not in there speaking up for Jesus. At this point, Jesus is alone as these people come forward and bear false witness against him. People who were probably already stationed at the wings. Before this trial even took place, this high priest probably grabbed his loyal followers and told them to make up stories about Jesus, to sow a seed of doubt in the minds of the people around him. But these lies didn't really bring about their desired effect, because even as these many false witnesses came forward, nothing was truly found about him that would bring about his death. Nothing that was evidence that he was leading an armed rebellion. We know that Jesus wasn't leading an armed rebellion because he said so in our last scripture. It said that those who draw the sword will die by the sword. That's not the words of a man leading an army. So then they take that saying that he will destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. On the surface, that does seem like a violent act, as the temple is central to Jewish society. But he wasn't discussing the true destruction of the temple, but something greater. But of course, through all of this, Jesus sits in silence, because he knows that anything he says will be taken out of context, much as that sentence about the temple being destroyed. He knows that anything he says will be used against him, that he is already guilty in the minds of the people trying him. But then finally, they come to him and point blank ask him the question if he is the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. Now it's notable that throughout most of Jesus' ministry, he rarely refers to himself as the Son of God or the Messiah. He might say the Son of Man or discuss himself in a certain allusion, but he very rarely reveals his true identity. But here, in front of the elites of society, he knew that he could withstand no more mystery. So he declared he was the Messiah, which gives him an authority far greater than any high priest, any council of elders, or any man. And this is the moment that the high priest has been waiting for. He tears his clothes in a dramatic fashion, emphasizing to people around him how important this must be. Now, I personally prefer my lawyers to remain fully clothed, but you can see how this might be the dramatic crescendo of this trial. The priest no longer able to contain himself even in his clothing. Of course, none of this is actually evidence that Jesus was leading a rebellion, but none of it matters. The answer was already in the minds of the people around him. So the high priest asked that question, "What do you think?" To which they all answered, "He is worthy of death." And at that moment, Jesus' fate was sealed. Even though in some ways it had been sealed since the moment of his birth on that first Christmas day. Now, in the other Gospels, it states that Jesus was blindfolded. And we can assume that he was blindfolded here because he was hit and people asked him that question, "Prophesize to us, Christ, who hit you?" Again, this isn't so much a concern about the crimes as it is mocking a person in their last moments, mocking a man that you have just sentenced to his crucifixion. It doesn't speak highly of the members of the Sanhedrin. They don't seem like just men of God. But here they are, supposedly beacons of the faith, leading the Messiah to the cross. It's a warning to us all to not be led astray by wolves in sheep clothing. Caiaphas, this high priest, led these men to their own demise. By condemning Christ, they sealed their own fate. And we too can be led astray by people that we, against our better judgment, follow, not realizing that they are leading us off a cliff. It's important for us to remember that there may be Caiaphases in our lives looking to pull us astray from the message of Jesus. And it's not for us to fall into those traps, not for us to strike a blindfold at Jesus, but for us to listen to his message instead. Next week, we will continue with the trial of Jesus, seeing him in front of Pilate, this innocent man led to his own crucifixion. As always, if you have any questions or prayer requests, please email me at BiblePeriodBourbon@gmail.com. And while it is true that Jesus drank wine, an occasional glass is different than an addiction. If you need help, please seek it. If you need help but don't know where to look, please reach out to me and I'll be happy to guide you. Blessings, everyone.